Blog Talk Radio.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good Monday morning, everybody. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries here in Northwest Arkansas. It is gray, it is cold, and it is snowing. There is a war being fought all over the world. There is a battle that is raging for the souls of men. We're going to talk about that today. And you know what's so absolutely amazing? We don't need dramatic theme. We don't need to be, you know, making things up or trying to exaggerate anything. I think most people in our country are probably awakening to what the prophetic word has been for years over this nation. If we did not change course, if we did not turn back to the living God, the things that are happening today are absolutely 1,000% prophetic realities. And I want to ask our listeners today a very important question. And that is, you know, you listen to many, many broadcasts, many programs, many different voices. You hear things all the time. Do you remember that over a week ago, about a week and a half ago, that I came to you over these airwaves and declared by the word of God, not my proclamation, but the proclamation of the word of God in Isaiah chapter 1, that America was a very sick nation? Do you all recall that conversation? Isaiah chapter 1, it's a very sick nation. Well, there are some very powerful things that were said in Isaiah chapter 1 that are now manifesting in our country. And I want to talk about them today, and then I want to share with you what the Lord is saying at this moment. I think it's the most important thing for God's people to know. Now, we come in the name of Jesus Christ to the airwaves. That has to be clearly understood before I get going here today, that our message is not our own message. It is the message, number one, of Scripture, but we come from the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, His truth, His reality. And so in the very first place, we know that the gospel is the good news to the nations of the earth, to every man, woman, child on this planet, that there is salvation by grace through faith. I just want to get my theology right with our listeners so you don't think that we're somehow, you know, just Old Testament and all that stuff. I want our listeners to make sure that they understand that we understand, I understand, the grace of God, his abundant grace, his abundant mercy, his abundant love, his absolute patience with us, and that the salvation that God has given to this earth, beginning with the Jew, then to the Gentiles all over the world, is the salvation that comes through his Son, his only begotten Son, Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And God's gift to the world was that he presented his Son as a sacrifice. God sacrificed his perfect Son for every man, woman, and child, the human race, the Adamic human race, the Noahide human race, if you will, everybody that survived from the days of Noah on. God provided a sacrifice. And it was perfect. It was the only sacrifice that could be given. We understand that. And when Jesus went to the cross and he died on Calvary and he was nailed to a wooden cross, a tree, wood, when the crown of thorns was put in his head, when he had been lashed 39 times on his back, when he was made a, he was just slaughtered, absolutely slaughtered for the penalty of the sins of the human race. Now, this is God's grace. This is God's kind of love. This is God's mercy that God manifested in the flesh. That was God. Jesus is God. There's no doubt that Jesus took on the robes of humanity, but Jesus, Yeshua, is Yahweh, or Yahweh is Yeshua. And you go back to the Hebrew, and it's very clear that Yahweh is Yeshua. God is our salvation. And so Yahweh is Yeshua. God, robed in flesh, came, died in a natural body, shed real blood, atonement for sin. Now, this we understand. And so salvation is not about works, not about what we could do to make ourselves better, because we could never make ourselves better. If we could, there would be no necessity for the sacrificial Lamb of God, Yeshua, God's Son, God in the flesh, there would be no need for the cross. So, salvation, the free gift. If you and I believe, it all boils down to this, believe. If you and I have heard the gospel, we've heard the good news of God's salvation, God's love, and it's not just salvation from bad things happening on earth, it is salvation from eternal separation from God, to be eternally separated from God. And all you have to do, if you're a believer today, is remember what your life was like before you were born again or before you were introduced to the true and living God. If you can recall a moment when you were without God in this world and what your life was like, what was your purpose? What was your destiny? You were probably like everybody else, on the wide road that leads to destruction, not even knowing that you were heading for eternal doom and damnation, because that's the reality of Scripture. That's what God's Word says. But you and I have believed. We heard that God loves us. We heard that God has provided a sacrifice to forgive us. We heard that God will accept us and call us his own children. We've heard the gospel, and that the beginning of this relationship with God, this reconciliation, begins with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we believed at the beginning. And when we believed, most of us had an experience with God. Something happened to us. Something happened inside of us. And so our journey as believers is to continue to believe, remains in you, okay? So it's all about remaining in the vine. It's remaining in the truth. It's remaining in faith. It is remaining in believing and allowing that belief to bring the spiritual forces of God to bear upon our eternal condition, our inward condition, our souls. In other words, our faith looses the power of the blood of Jesus to wash us and cleanse us from the inside out. Our faith looses the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live beyond the degradation and depravity of human nature. In other words, sin loses its power over our lives because there's a supernatural force of God that lifts us above sin's power and grip. There's a greater power than sin, and it is our redemption. And so our faith in the Word of God, our belief in the Word of God, enables the supernatural power of God to work in us and to sustain us and to nourish us and to keep us unto the full redemption, restoration, reconciliation, the promise of eternal life, the promise of our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of this is extremely important. It's the foundation of our lives. Nothing else matters beyond this. Nothing. Okay. So I just need to let our listeners know that we understand that God is good. He's a good, good daddy. He's a good, good father. His loving kindness is beyond anything we could ever imagine. We don't deserve it, and yet we have it. God loves his creatures, and he wants all men to know him. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Anybody. All men can be saved if they will receive the engrafted word of God, if they will believe, if they will allow their faith to apprehend. But you know, men love darkness rather than light, and therefore they would not come to the light. Now that is a damning reality upon the soul of those who refuse to acknowledge the darkness within their own soul. Now these are the words of Jesus in John chapter 3, right? That men love darkness rather than light. And so this is God's desire, God's love, God's will. If you're born again, you should know that through working out your salvation, that condemnation has been defeated, guilt and shame have been defeated. You are washed from the inside out. And as you journey in Jesus, you're producing more fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is becoming obvious in your life. God is opening doors of opportunity. There's probably a whole book of testimonies of what God has done in your life. He has blessed you. He's enabled you. He's taken brokenness and he's brought healing. He's taken a mess and turned it into a message. He's turned the lemons of life into lemonade. You know how it is. That's what God does. He's good. And now we're here in God and we have a vocation. Each one of us has a job to do. As members of the body of Christ, we have a function. And each one of us have to find out what that function is, because we have been set within the body of Christ as it pleases the Holy Spirit. And so we have been placed not by men into a religious order of things, but we have been placed by the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit, and we have been set as it pleases him. And that's where you're going to find the thing that you love the most. The thing that God has gifted you the most in, that's what you operate in. That's where you need to be in this time. And yet that's not our life. I need to stress this point again. Just because we're functioning as members of the body and we have a particular vocation, that still is not our life. Our life, again, is hid in Christ, in God. When Jesus appears, we shall appear with him in life. And that is the eternal life that he has given to us by his eternal spirit. Folks, we have nothing but good news if we believe and we remain in faith and belief unto the end. It's he who endures to the end that shall be saved. We're not just talking about positional salvation. We're talking about actual experiential salvation at the end. Praise God. And so we're living in days where many are going to fall away from the faith. We're living in days that the love of many will wax cold. We're living in the days that many who once had great love will have great hate, and because of their hate will begin to offend one another in the house of God. We are living in a critical time right now, and we've got to diagnose it. We've got to analyze it properly. Now, having said that, okay, and that is the meat of the message, the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God, the blood of Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But remember, it does say in the New Covenant that names that were once written in the Book of Life can be erased. In other words, we have got to be very careful with this precious salvation. this treasure of salvation. Don't, you know, what do you do with your valuables? You put them away in a safe place, right? Because you know that there are thieves that want to steal it. Well, there's a great thief, his name is Satan, that wants to rob you of this great salvation. So you better have it tucked away in your heart, and you better keep that salvation, right? We better. Don't get upset because we use the word better. We must. You just use any word you want, I guess. Your salvation is secure in Christ, and there should be fruits of your salvation manifesting in your life. That's really important. You should be living in the context of a community of believers so that accountability can be a part of you to help you to maintain the course. I mean, if nobody's looking at you and nobody can say to you, hey, you're a little bit off base here, well, you could get yourself into trouble. Because there's going to come a multitude of people saying, Lord, Lord, open unto me. We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And God, the Lord Jesus, will say, depart from me, workers of iniquity. And that should be a cause for concern. If nobody's allowed to speak into your life, you're in trouble already because you're closing the door to what God has designed. So getting through all of that, now we've got to talk about what's going on. I told you about a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, I brought Isaiah chapter 1, and it was a prophetic word. It's what God gave me while we were in Hawaii. It's the message that he just pronounced. And in Isaiah, I read these words, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. And this has been in my spirit for a while. We took it on the air. Here's what it says. Ah, sinful nation. Now, I received this as a prophetic word to the United States of America. This is what God is saying to America. This is Isaiah speaking to America. I know that he spoke to Israel when this was written originally, but this is God's prophetic word to the nation that is in covenant with him today, and this is where God is never changing. Okay, he never changes. So he says to America today, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Listen now to verse 7. Country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. Now, your cities are burned with fire. A town called Paradise in California has been completely destroyed. There are over 30 people confirmed dead. They have had to call in DNA specialists to identify bodies because the only thing left in the cars that they were burned to death in or wherever they were their bones. The temperatures were soaring over 1,000 degrees. 1,000 degrees that melted 18-wheelers and left a stream of metal. Melted metal. Thousands of homes have been destroyed. Three fires, again, out of nowhere, have ripped through California. And is today, right now, Malibu is in the crosshairs. But this is amazing to me because when I read this prophecy in Isaiah, again, there were people saying, oh, there's going to be a great red tsunami wave of Republican victories. Well, there wasn't. The Republicans lost the House. They only gained a couple of seats that are now being contested. In Florida, in Arizona, in Georgia, the conflict, the rhetoric, the heat is being turned up, the political division is becoming more intense. It can't be a win-win situation. It's a lose-lose situation. Because the moral integrity of the people of this country is no longer under control. The refugees have now, some of them have already reached Tijuana. The rest are making their final journey from Mexico City, but many have already reached the borders of the United States. The refugees are coming. Well, in Isaiah, it says, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers or refugees. Prophecy. Isaiah, the prophet, is speaking the truth to America. And that's where we have to lay, okay? Let me just say it that way. That's where the people of God have to lay their hearts, is on the Word of God, okay? The Bible tells us God's heart. And the Holy Spirit moves men and women to the Scriptures to analyze, to diagnose, to reveal, to interpret what is going on in the world. Our whole ministry began as a ministry that looks through the biblical lens at the signs of the times to interpret to whoever wants to know what's going on in this world. Our job has been to interpret what is happening in the world. And our interpretation has never changed. We have not gone with the winds of politics or the political winds or the social winds or the religious winds. Our message has never changed. And the message is to a country that has sinned like we have sinned, judgment. We have also been saying, I have been saying that in Ezekiel chapter 21, that the nation will be turned over to slaughter, and that and America would become a slaughterhouse. And that word slaughter meant senseless killing. Ruthless, brutal, senseless killing. And we just saw that in Sherman Oaks since I read the word of Isaiah and Ezekiel 21. We saw 13 people murdered senselessly. And that's not the end of it. It's been happening in mass here, there, and everywhere, right? So my point is, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, but let's take it to the next level. When I woke up this morning, I actually wrote this down because it was so profound in my spirit. And here's what I heard after what I saw. And let me tell you what I saw. I saw mountains shaking this morning. I saw massive rocks that had been set in certain places being moved out of their places, and massive rocks tumbling down huge mountains. Objects seemingly out of nowhere just falling onto the earth. And I heard God say, when I saw this massive rock falling from the highest mountains, mountains shall shake, oceans shall roar, men's hearts shall melt. And obviously I thought, wow, that's somewhere in the Bible. So I looked around a little bit, and the very first place I found was Luke chapter 21. And so I want to go back to Luke chapter 21. And here's what it says in verse 25, Luke 21, 25, and there shall be signs in the sun. We've had signs in the sun, folks. In our generation, right here within this dispensation, we have had signs in the sun. And I'm not saying this is the final. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we've had solar eclipses, signs in the sun. And there may be some further signs in the suns like CMEs, coronal mass ejections, that are going to wipe out the electrical grid. And I'm so happy today that there's heat in our house because of electricity. But it may be that another sign of the sun will release a solar flare to wipe out the electrical grid. Okay? So today we're very thankful, but I'm saying we've already had some signs. I'm not saying this is the sign that Jesus was talking about. But he does say there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. Now, we've had signs in the moon. We've had blood red moons, tetrads. We've had them, okay? But there may be some other signs in the moon, some gravitational shift or something that will move gravitationally the earth in the tides of the sea, right? But then he said, and in the stars, and we have even had signs in the stars. We saw a constellation lining up with Revelation chapter 12 perfectly. We saw the Revelation 12 constellation star signs, okay? And then Jesus said, not only shall there be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, he said, upon the earth, distress of nations. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I was reminded that it was on July 22nd. You want to hear a strange story? July 22nd, I was climbing the Teton Mountains, and I told you my story about what happened. And so July 22nd is emblazed in my spirit about an experience with God and a dealing of the Lord in my life. And I shared the good things that God taught me on that mountaintop. The other day, I was perusing the channels, and I turned on – we have this Firefox thing so we could watch Pure Flix movies whenever we want to just rest, these beautiful Christian movies. But there was this thing that was on the headline banner, and it just said July 22nd. And I thought, wow, what is that, July 22nd? That's the day that I was on the mountain in 2018. So I turned it on, and it was – if you'll remember, it was the movie – of the man in Oslo, Norway, that blew up a federal government building, a massive explosion, and then went onto an island and shot and killed 69 young 19 to 20, 21-year-old young men and women. He went on a shooting rampage, and they named him as a far right-wing, radical whatever. And he was angry in the movie. This is how they diagnosed the movie. He was angry because the liberals were opening the door to multiculturalism and that the Norwegians were losing their identity because of this cross mixing that was going on with the Muslims and everybody coming into their country. And so this far right wing faction supposedly was stopping it. This guy was a real lone wolf, obviously, created this environment. It was a true story that happened on July 22nd. Again, senseless, needless, ruthless, brutal killing. That's called slaughter. Now, men's hearts, getting back to verse 25 of Luke, upon the earth, distress of nations, and that's why I brought up that movie, because it's not just in America. This is distress of nations, plural. Okay, in the Middle East, there's a war breaking out with Israel right now and Hamas. But that word distress is sunike, and what it means is a narrowing, the contracting part of a way. It means anguish. It means restraint, anxiety. Okay, so the Greek word is talking about that narrow. Things are getting tight. People are getting nervous. There's an anxiousness coming. There's a distress. There's an anguish that is in the heart of man. This is the sunike, the distress of nations. And then he went on to say, with perplexity. So upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Now that word perplexity, again, is aporia or aporie, and aporie is the state of one who is in perplexity, but the word actually means a state of quandary. And it has a deeper word on it, and it's the word aporio, aporio. And that word simply means to have no way out. Now listen to me, please. In the fires, we're hearing one story after another of what's happening right now. 31 people killed, hundreds missing. They don't know where the others are. But they found no way out. That's why they're finding bodies in cars that were enveloped by fire. They couldn't get out. They could not get out. And this word here, okay, to have no way out. In other words, to be at a loss for answers. To be at a loss. Why? Because, again, the perplexity. To be perplexed is to have a mental understanding. You can't see it. Now, to those who have faith in God, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. But in this time that we're coming in, the nations are going to be in distress with perplexity. So the nations that have rebelled against Jesus Christ and the gospel of God and the message that God, the true God, has given to this earth, that has been rejected by the nations? Well, this is what's happening. They're coming to a place, and it's going to get even more narrow as the days go by, where they're not going to find a way out. And that's why people are going to commit suicide. But what does it say? It says, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And that's what I heard this morning. Mountains shall shake, oceans shall roar. And when it talks about the sea and the waves roaring, the word roaring there is akio. And that word akio, it's really interesting because it means to make a loud noise or to reverberate. And obviously here we're talking about hurricanes that stir up the sea. You know, that's one way of looking at this. It is also a confused noise or a roar, a rumor. Okay, so the nations are representative many times in the Bible as the sea of humanity, okay? And so we have distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. There's a sound, a reverberation. There's a rumor. And what happens in verse 26? Men's hearts failing them. Men's hearts failing them. And the word men's hearts failing them is a Greek aposuko. Aposuko. And literally what it means is to breathe out. In other words, it's an exhaustion of life. It means to faint, to expire, okay? And it's out of where there's nothing left in the individual. I mean, these are very serious definitions about what is coming on the face of the earth. And unfortunately, it is a witness to what is happening right now. Now, verse 26 again, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So men are standing back today. They're turning on their news channels all over the world. Some aren't, praise God. But many are watching what's happening in California again. Many just saw the senseless, ruthless slaughter in Sherman Oaks, California. You know, I could speak into that and say, you know what, boys and girls, you shouldn't be taking your clothes off and dancing half naked, you know, in a bar. You know, that's probably not the safest place to be. I know you want to have fun, but maybe that's not the recreation that you should be looking for. However, those are slaughtering fields, and there are lots of places in this country that are open to the slaughter, whether they be football games, baseball games, whether they be concert halls. You notice every little element throughout the last several years has been hit. It's soccer stadiums in different parts of the world, and dance halls and concert halls. You know, it's a preview of how when masses of people gather together, how the enemy, the slayer that has the sword of slaughter in his hand, could bring ultimate damage. And you know, that's what they're thinking right now, to apply as much damage as possible. So men's hearts failing them for fear. They're seeing the California fires again. They're seeing the senseless killings. They're watching the revoting, the division between the left and the right, the Republicans and the Democrats. They're seeing Antifa. They're seeing Black Lives Matter. They're seeing the KKK. They're seeing groups rising. They're seeing Tucker Carlson's house being invaded to a degree by an Antifa group. People are watching. They're getting it. They're going, wow, this is getting stressed out. And what's happening is a line is being drawn, and what God is really revealing to everybody, like in the days of Korah, you better take a side because the middle ground's about to get wiped out. And so everybody is now taking a side. And people that think that they're somehow in the middle are going to find out that that's not going to work anymore. The division is becoming so complete, and there are people trying to, bring peace. They're trying to, let's come together. But unfortunately, the mental condition of the nation, being as sick as it is, will never be able to heal itself. They're trying to heal themselves, or Americans are trying to heal themselves by physicians of no value. And again, I'll go back to Job chapter 13. They are physicians of no value, meaning in the Hebrew, they are good for nothing. the attempts of movie stars and rap stars and singers and artists and all these political people and nice people and veterans. Use anybody you want. They're trying to fix it. You can't fix it. It is sick from the head to the soles of the feet. I'm speaking of the country. Why? Because we're double-minded. We're schizophrenic. We're bipolar. We have a split personality in America. Don't you see it? And the only understanding is that what God said in Isaiah chapter 1, your cities will be burned with fire. Your country is desolate. That's where it's going. Strangers are going to take it over. That's what's looking around us. And you're going to see revolution. You're going to see civil war. You're already seeing it in preview. Every physical battle begins with words. Don't ever forget that. It all begins with words. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. So I prayed and said, Lord, what else is there? And he led me to Isaiah chapter 34. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 34. And this was interesting in light of what Jesus said in Luke, because Jesus was speaking about the end times and he's incorporating the nations. Jesus isn't just looking at Israel at that time. He's looking at the nations of the earth. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 34 verse 1 said these words, come near, you nations, to hear and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. So here is a prophetic announcement to the nations of the earth, to the inhabitants of the earth, all that is in the world and everything that comes of it, right? Humanity came out of the earth, and he's talking to all the people. And here's the announcement. Verse 2, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. There's that word again. I thought, wow, Lord, there it is. So let's look at the verse again. For the indignation of the Lord. Now, whose indignation is this? It's the Lord's indignation. And that word indignation is kitsef. Kitsef in the Hebrew. And what does it mean? The wrath. The rage. Anger. Now, look at that word indignation for just a moment again. What is it that's going forth? Verse 2, for the indignation of the Lord. Now, if you look just briefly at Isaiah chapter 10, we're actually told who the indignation of the Lord is or what it is. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. Listen carefully. Isaiah 10, 5. Oh, Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff or the weapon in their hand. So the Assyrian is God's rod of anger, and the weapon in their hand is my indignation. So God sends the Assyrian as a force of indignation against Israel, and in the last days, the Islamic world is going to rise to power, and once again, God is going to put the hand into the hand of the slayer, a sword for slaughter. Going back to Ezekiel 21, this is Ishmael, and God is going to give it. He gave it to the king of Babylon in Ezekiel 21. He literally put a sword for slaughter, a furbished sword for slaughter in the hand of the slayer. The slayer was the king of Babylon in Ezekiel. Here was the Assyrian. Now we go back to Isaiah 34, verse 2 again. We know now the indignation, the wrath, the anger of the Lord is upon all nations. And then when we get into this end time prophecy of all nations, well, now you're talking about the Islamic wave of violence that's circling around the world today. How many of you believe that up out of the south is going to come a wave of violence? ISIS, MS-13, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, you know, we know that that's coming. It's coming. The wave is coming. It flowed into Europe. We all watched it. The wave of immigrants coming from Islamic countries, and it turned Europe upside down and inside out. raped their women, burned their cities, poured acid on people's, knife attacks, blowing up things. I mean, pretty bad stuff, right? Well, now comes this wave of violence against our country. Why? Because we've neglected and rejected the great physician. This is not a feel-good message. I get it, but there's too many people out there telling you, oh, it's all going to be okay. Don't worry about anything. It's all going to be all right. Meanwhile, Southern California is on fire with people burning to death. You can't even find their who they are anymore. And yet you've got these people out there trying to tell everybody it's okay, rather than confessing that they blew it when they said a red tsunami was coming. There was no red tsunami. So what you have to do is humble yourself and say, I missed it on that one. Then maybe we could listen to you again. But if you're not willing to humble your heart and say, man, there was no red wave, I didn't hear, and yet you're going to keep on going and now telling more stories, you're lying. And the people are listening because they don't know what else to do. But here's the word of God. We're telling you right now what's going to happen. We've been telling for years what's going to happen in this country. And guess what? Last night, we were having dinner with a couple. And this couple, the wife said to me at the table and to Patricia and to her husband that she has a friend in Canada that is a physicist who has predicted every single hurricane. And he said in the next 40 days, the next 30 to 40 days, a massive, the big earthquake is going to hit. He is a physicist. He's predicted every hurricane and said in 30 to 40 days. Now, that may have had an impact of what I saw this morning about this mountain shaking and these massive rocks going down. Now, I live in Northwest Arkansas. The fires don't mean a thing to me, do they? Except for my spiritual understanding, and I feel terrible and I weep. And when I hear somebody giving glory to God that they've been saved and that God miraculously delivered them, I weep and rejoice with them. I'm sorrowing over what I see from afar, but it hasn't touched me. And now a massive earthquake predicted by a physicist who has nailed it on many of the predictions of hurricanes is saying 30 to 40 days. Well, how much of an impact is that going to have? Okay. Verse 2 goes on again, and I'm in Isaiah 34, verse 2. The indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury is upon all their armies. His fury, his kama, or his kema, his heat, his rage, his hot displeasure, his indignation and anger and wrath and poison. Wow. That's pretty heavy that God has this kind of fury. And some people try to change God, that he's had an anger management class in the new covenant. He's kind of changed his opinion about things. God has never changed his mind about anything. And when it comes to sin and rebellion, his word is settled in heaven forever. And while there is mercy and grace for those who will turn to him, there is no mercy and grace for those who reject him, blaspheme him, insult him, rail against him, fight against him, okay? And yet he's so full of loving kindness, he looks at these poor people and says, you poor, ignorant people, I'm going to try to wake you up and tell you that you're fighting the wrong fight. You don't want to fight with me. But then the time comes where God says, you know what? You want to see my indignation? You want to see my fury? People don't even identify the things that are going on in the world as coming from God because they've changed God. But here we're reading a prophetic end time reality to all nations about the fury, the indignation is upon all their armies. Here's the prophetic word. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Who? All the armies. Their slain, verse 3, also shall be cast out. Their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. Listen now, because here comes the book of Revelation, Isaiah 34, 4. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Okay, keep your mind there for just a moment. I'm going to read verse 4 again in a second, but I want to compare it to Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and a few other verses. You ready? Here's what Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 says. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. That's what we're predicting 30 to 40 days from now. Do you know that the sixth seal is the seal that we've been waiting for years? We've had evidence of the first five seals opening, but we have said again and again and again that the sixth seal has never been opened. Nowhere in 2,000 years in Bible prophecy has this event ever happened. And yet, we're being told that a massive earthquake is going to happen. But watch this. I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Listen, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs. Now, let me read Isaiah 34:4 again. Stay in Revelation. But Isaiah 34:4 says, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. The heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Again, let me go back to Revelation. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Listen now to this part, verse 14 of Revelation 6. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Isaiah 34 says, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll. Isaiah 34 is an end time Bible prophecy, not just for the days of Isaiah, not just in 70 AD, but the prophecy of all prophecies connecting to the book of Revelation prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the door of the sixth seal being opened. Watch this. Go back to Revelation 6. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That means that the earthquake is going to shake to such a degree that it's going to move every mountain and island out of their places. We've seen the island of Japan shift. We've seen mountains shift with mega earthquakes. Well, this earthquake that is coming, I don't think is going to be limited to the West Coast. I believe it's going to be one of those rocking momentary moments where the world is shaken by this massive earthquake that's going to move every mountain and island. And then the kings of the earth, in verse 15 of Revelation 6, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man did what? They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. What are all the world rulers doing? Remember, he's going to destroy their armies. What are the world rulers doing? They're going to hide. They know something. When this event happens, when the stars are falling towards the earth, when the Oort belt is released and we begin to see cometary impact, when we begin to see asteroids and meteorites and men's hearts are failing and the sea and the waves are roaring and the perplexity of nations and all the – and when it's all happening, these guys are going into hiding. And they're going to say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. Wow. They're crying out for the rocks to hide them. They don't want to be killed. They want to be hidden by these massive rocks. Well, the rocks are going to fall for sure. But what are they doing? They're hiding from him, from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? The sixth seal is the opening of the revelation of the wrath of Christ, the Lamb of God. And this wrath is going to be upon all nations. Let's go back to Isaiah 34. This wrath is going to be upon all nations. Luke 21, the same thing. All the nations. We're moving into a time of wrath. Now, the wrath of the Lord is upon his enemies. We have to understand that. God's people have not been appointed to God's wrath. So the wrath of God that is going to come upon his enemies, and it's going to absolutely separate within the church what is truly his and what is not. There's a great coming to the ecclesia of God, okay? But the wrath is not against the blood-bought saints whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life who are connected to the vine. That's not the case. The tribulation of Revelation chapter 12 and 13 is a moment where the Antichrist powers will bring their wrath against the saints. There's two different events here. I believe that God is revealing the sixth seal is about to open. We've seen previews. We've seen judgments, okay? And judgments are always designed to turn people back to God. But when the wrath of God comes, it's now being turned over to destruction. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are hearing the pounding of the hoofbeats of the sixth seal opening. It's intense. It's at the door. It's all around us. And one would say, you haven't seen anything yet. All we have been witnessing are the previews in the realm of judgment to get our attention. But we're not turning to the great physician. The only one that could heal our nation is Jesus Christ. Everything else is a physician of no value. Now, he goes on, let me just read that verse 4 one more time in Isaiah 34. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls off from the vine and as a falling fig from the trees. Now, he says in verse 5, my sword shall be bathed in heaven, the sword of slaughter. This is the revelation. This is Ezekiel 21 now. My sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. Okay, I want to stop there. I need to get back to Luke chapter 21 for a moment. Luke chapter 21. Let's go there because the question at this point is, what do I do? I'm a Christian. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have testimony. The Holy Spirit bears witness to my genuine salvation. Okay, I'm living in this world. I'm seeing it. The sixth seal is about to open. God's wrath is going to go all over the world against his enemies. And yet he's going to preserve his own people. Okay, but how do I know I'm his own people? What is my job? What do I do right now in the midst of all this calamity, this wrath, this fury, this indignation of God? Well, verse 28 of Luke 21. Listen to me. This is so important. 21:28, when these things begin to come to pass, everything he just said about men's hearts failing, you know, everything in the Luke 21 thing. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. It doesn't happen. It's just drawing nigh, okay? And then he spoke a parable in verse 29. Stay with me. Luke 21, 29. He spoke to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree. Here we get to figs again. And all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, you, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. It doesn't come immediately, but the coming of the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Here we're talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus within the context of this wrath being poured out on the enemies of God, the great tribulation that God's people will walk through, and then the ultimate seven vials of the final wrath of God that will destroy nations. But here's the point. Here's the point. I've got to move forward in verse 34. Luke 21, 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. Do you know why most people will not even recognize what time it is? Because their hearts are overcharged with surfeiting or licentiousness or godless living and drunkenness. And many are consumed with the cares of this life. Remember, you're not going to find your life in this world. This momentary experience, having been born again, is a vocation. It's not our life. Our life is hid in Christ. And when he appears, we'll appear with him. So, but there are people that are getting caught up in the cares of this life. And Jesus warned every one of us. Because if we get caught up in the cares of this life, oh, how are my kids doing? Oh, my spouse isn't doing it right. Oh, my money situation isn't good. Oh, this, oh, that. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, wait a second. You're going to be unaware. And unfortunately, a large swath of the church today is totally unaware of what is happening. But verse 35, Jesus said this, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." This is not limited to the Middle East. There's a snare coming on the whole earth. And he says in verse 36, "Watch ye therefore," to his own disciples, you and I, "and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and pray that you'll be worthy to stand before the Son of Man." So what is the Lord saying? He's saying in this very, very late hour, it is imperative that you and I come out of this world, lest you be partakers of her sins and the judgment that is being visited upon the nations. The wrath of God, the wrath of Christ in Revelation 6, in the sixth seal, is knocking at the door right now. I cannot overemphasize that enough. That is a reality. And that's kind of where I'm going to sit right now. I believe that in the next couple of weeks, in the month of November, we're going to see another release. We saw a magnificent, unfortunately not in a good sense, October. Horrible what happened in October. Hurricane Michael, Hurricane Florence, whoever they were. Senseless shooting. And now the prediction of a massive financial collapse is looming over our country. Deception is getting stronger than ever before. And I'm here to tell you that if you're listening to men and not the Word of God, you're in trouble. If you're not studying the Word of God for yourself and getting a clue of what is happening, you're going to get lost. I don't even expect you to depend on what I'm telling you. I try to keep my opinions far away. I produce the Word. And anybody that's trying to live their best life now has totally lost touch with reality. If your whole life is about winning the lottery or getting rich or having money, you're lost. In your own soul, you're lost. Do you know if God wanted you to have any of those things, he would give it as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? But that's not the way it is in many hearts. The pursuit of many hearts is not about working as a laborer in the field of harvest to win souls before they're all damned. The thought of many hearts is, what can I get out of this experience with Jesus to benefit my fleshly life on this earth? It's over. You want to go into that deception? Have at it. Take the blue pill. The blue pill. You'll wake up tomorrow. Nothing I've said will matter. You'll just go on and live in the dream world that will turn into a nightmare. The Lord God is trying to open your eyes and your heart to a reality that you haven't even considered. You've only played with it, but you've never really considered what's happening. and what time it is. People are burning to death. They cannot find their recognition, their DNA. They have to call in DNA. I'm going to keep telling you. What's going on in California was in this Bible, and there's a connection to it. I've run out of time. It's time for me to turn this over to Patricia Joy Xavier, which I'm very happy to do at this time. And she's going to get into the spiritual aspects of this, which I think is very important. And so I'm going to go out for just a moment. We'll see you in just a moment.
Hello, and good day. We want good days for the body of Christ, don't we? Though I see that the dog, the dark dog, is barking up the tree, and things are happening now that are very, very interesting as the darkness unfolds and is being revealed. I am remembering Malachi 4:1 that says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." In other words, nothing for them to continue in their ways. The Lord will destroy the earth. The Lord is going to completely destroy everything on earth. He will twist its surface. He'll scatter those who live on it. Priests and people alike will suffer. So will masters and their servants. And so will women and their female servants, sellers and buyers alike will suffer. So will those who borrow and those who lend. And so will those who owe money and those who lend it. The earth will be completely destroyed. Everything of value will be taken out of it. That's what the Lord has said. The earth will dry up completely. The world will dry up and waste away. The heavens will fade away along with the earth. The earth is polluted by its people. They haven't obeyed the laws of the Lord. They haven't done what he told them to do. They have broken the covenant that will last forever. So the Lord will send a curse on the earth. Its people will pay for what they have done. They will be burned up. Very few of them will be left. Pretty tough words spoken in Scripture in Isaiah 24, starting in 1-6. And then I realized that all that is going on at this time is because there's been an incredible rebellion in California. But does that mean there hasn't been rebellion elsewhere? Yes, there has. But California is a Christian state. When I lived there, when I was there, multitudes of churches really ministering God's truth. But as recent, they wanted to divide themselves, do you recall, from the rest of the nation. And they wanted to become an independent nation so that their laws, that which is wrong and evil. And they would become a state that would house and take care of those that are in rebellion. Also, the Democrats began to have their rule over it. However, it's been for quite some time, but the Christian body of Christ kept it from getting involved to the point where it was being taken over by leftists and evildoers. But the House Democrats are planning an aggressive push to greatly expand gun control as soon as they take control of the House of Representatives in January, the Washington Examiner reports. That person that's involved was the one involved also in government, Nancy Pelosi in California. And what is the reason for all of this? Well, after a shooting at a California bar last week, they claimed a dozen lives, and Democrats have decided to shift briefly away from prioritizing several investigations into the Trump administration and President Donald Trump and focus instead on passing strict gun control measures, including universal background checks, a national ban on high-capacity magazines, a ban on assault-style weapons, and a provision that would allow law enforcement to temporarily confiscate weapons from individuals deemed a threat to themselves or others. My God, can you imagine that law being passed with all of those who have guns that are here illegally and others who are into drug clientele? And we just could go on and on with the insanity of trying to aggressively have gun control in a time like this. But you see, that which comes upon us is the doing of the body of Christ in the church, because we failed to do what was right in the church, to repent of our ways first. Judgment starts in the house of God. And there is also the pain of watching these things happen. You see, the pain of it is the body of Christ has done nothing about all the evil that has been going on. We have stayed quiet, spoken nothing within the church, and now more and more things are beginning to form against the will of God in this nation, because when good people do nothing, evil will begin to control. You know, there are times where we have to begin to understand that there is a discernment we should have regarding demonic presence. And this is what we have been seeing rise up and begin to do their unclean work, people who have been involved with doing unclean things and being aggressive in evil. And what have we done to teach the United States as a body of Christ about evil doers, demonic presence, and unholy spirits moving among and around our nation? Very little has been done. Very little ministers minister deliverance. Very few of them begin to teach the people about Satan as a thief coming to steal and to kill and destroy. And we are hurting. We are becoming a depressed and oppressed nation. And this lack of teaching in our nation by the church is causing and allowing much darkness to proceed. But now we want to do something about it. Now we want to rise up. Well, folks, that should have happened some time back. You know, I understand that there is a concern from many ministers as to teaching about deliverance or evil spirits. But as Christians, we should know and we should learn the truth about our legal rights. We should understand that when Satan and his devils come, they are trespassing on territory that has been talked and owned and purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Christian body. But that hasn't happened because we have not understood the work of the evil one in Christianity. The question often asked is, do we as Christians have the right to cast out devils in the church, in the body of Christ, or does this power belong only to the original 12 apostles? This argument has been going on in the Christian church too long. And it's time that we see that doing nothing about spiritual unholiness is causing great problems in the church and in the nation today. Many denominations believe that this power was granted only to the apostles of Jesus. However, Mark 16:17 clearly states, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." That's in the King James Version. Even worse than that, many Bibles and their different versions of the scriptures have taken out Mark 16:17. But the King James Version has not. The others proclaim, because that particular scripture has been taken out, the others proclaim that it was not in the original Bible in Greek or Hebrew. But the King James Version has it. And this has caused controversy also. When I look it up in the Greek, it's there. So I don't quite understand what happened in the council. In the King James council, it was put in. But in other versions, it is out. There again causes much confusion. And it must be understood that them that believe are those who have unquestionable faith in what Jesus Christ declared is true yesterday, today, and yes, forever. You know, in Mark 16:18, it says that they shall take up serpents, meaning evil spirits, but these spirits shall not hurt us. Now, this does not mean that in the physical realm we should be doing it. We should be doing it in the spiritual realm. Satan is a spiritual serpent. But I'll tell you that Mark 16:17 is an incredible scripture to remember for the body of Christ. But again, the enemy has brought a question to it. So who is the word of God given to, and who is to believe these scriptures? It says that it is given to the apostles, but not to the apostles only. It is given to those who believe. Now, believing does not merely mean that you know Jesus died, that he is up in heaven, and that someday you are going to be there. Believing means that those things spoken of in the Holy Scriptures are true because Jesus said so. You are to believe in everything without any doubt, with all your heart. No other proof is needed. His word is enough. Christ himself spoke these scriptures. Why do we have so much trouble believing when Jesus spoke them and lived them? So the battle goes on about where in the body do demons dwell? Could they even dwell in a Christian? Yes, they can. And this is where the battle belongs. It belongs among the Christian body greatly, because if we get it straight, the world is going to have to bow to the Word of God. And we're going to overcome. We're going to rise up as ministers of the army of God and teach the Word of God in truth so others can receive it. In Jesus' name. So James 5, 19, 20 states, brethren, in any of you, if you do err from the truth, and one cover or convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. The soul is the vehicle of the heart and mind. In the natural and unredeemed state, your life is guided by your feelings, your emotions, your human reasoning. This is why you need redemption. And this is why we need to speak redemption to others. It is unwise for the redeemed to be moved by what he feels. Rather, he should be guided by the Word of God. We all know from experience that we cannot trust our feelings. For this reason, and for this, is that we have been and can still be deceived by our feelings through sin, by Satan's deceptions. That's why the Word of God must be taught properly and rightfully, so we know and understand his will, and the deception of the enemy cannot come in and bring confusion through scripture by having some taken out that should be there, and have Bibles written that take out scripture that is absolutely necessary for the body of Christ in the times we're in. The King James Version is the one to have. Yes, the King James Version is the one to have. And if you need to look into the scriptures and decipher it in the Greek and Hebrew, do it on your own. Just don't accept other versions to help you through it. Do the study on your own. Get a concordance and work it through. A rightful concordance. One that is old enough to give you the truth of the Hebrew and the Greek, because even that has been changed. We're in times of deception like no other. But if you would take out a concordance, an older one, if you can find one, they're precious to have and rightfully discerned. And if you can use the King James Version, the old King James Version, and study, you're going to find yourself in a better place. You're going to understand the Word of God in truth by the Holy Spirit. You know, most of us were born into families that didn't have all wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God. But we are given opportunity now to know his Word in truth and in power. If they did, they would have been able to entrust his Word to us. But they didn't. And truthfully, that's why most of us have made grave mistakes in our lives, because we did not know the Word of God as a child growing up with folks or parents who taught us the Word. But some have. And those who have are very blessed and are willing to be able to do his will in a greater capacity than those of us who have not. But we have it now. And so the extent in which we have been given the knowledge of God is the extent in which we're going to utilize his word if we believe his word. What can be trusted is the word of God, as it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. But again, it is just not the word without the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is the water of the Word to cleanse us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God to show us the depths and truth of the Word and teach us that Word in its reality. Not by others telling us, but by the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us. It is the fire to purge, and it is the director of our lives to guide. The Holy Spirit is necessary because this, the living word renews our minds and protects us from deception, but we must have the understanding of the word in depth, and the Holy Spirit gives us that. It reveals the truth of the word, and it could only be done through truth, and the truth is the word, and the Holy Spirit is the revelation of that word in us. This basic trust is why the world in its courts of law utilizes and practices of the swearing in of witnesses with the Bible, which is swearing on the word of God. Now, little by little, they're taking that away too. But body of Christ, we need the word. And the word was Jesus made flesh, and he dwelt with us on earth. He was the word made flesh and dwelt with us on the word. And the word renews our mind. And it is synonymous with the renewing of our soul. Our soul must be renewed. Our soul must be delivered. Ephesians 4:23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. The Holy Spirit of your mind, not just your human spirit of your human mind. A renewed mind has a mind of Christ, a mind that is at peace, a mind that is right and sound, not a mind that is distorted, tired, haughty, bragging about itself. You don't know how many Christians I meet that have a tendency to brag about themselves and about what they know. It's bad news, folks. It's not the way it's to be. A renewed mind is not a braggart mind or a reprobate mind. How do we obtain this mind of Christ to be pure and holy? We acquire it through the word. And the more we study his word through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the more our minds will become like the mind of Christ, his mind. Out there, what we're seeing in darkness with Nancy Pelosi and others, they have a cardinal mind. A cardinal mind is a mind that dwells on worldly or fleshy things. It's a sick mind. It thinks all kinds of defeating thoughts, such as unworthiness, as well as thoughts of sexual and monetary pleasure. His is the mind, Christ's mind, his mind, receiving its directions from the Holy Spirit, is totally different. But the cardinal mind is always in deception. That's what we're seeing with these people that are in darkness. It is puffed up. It knows truth and is intelligent when it is only in deception and cannot understand the truth. And most of the world has a carnal mind. And that's what we are seeing through the great deception of the evil one. They don't know the truth because they do not have the mind of Christ. Yet they think they know everything. The great deception. We can simply watch television and see this occurring all the time, day in and day out. We can see it where we work and everywhere we go. And all too often we can see it even in ourselves, which is such a heartbreak as Christians. You know, I'm amazed to see how truly deceived we can become at times. It astonishes me to see what people will agree to or with when they are in deception, what they agree to. It's just amazing to me. You know, the outcome of the natural unredeemed man is going to be horrible. It's going to be horrific, one we don't even want to see from those we love that have not come out of their natural thinking. They're still unredeemed. Each and every one of us can acknowledge the fact that we do not know what is going to happen to us in the future. The only thing we have available to us is what someone has told us about a particular situation if we are in our natural minds and thinking. That includes the news media. We have to have the mind of Christ. We have to be delivered out of our natural thinking and be very careful what we're hearing and what we're seeing, because Christ's truth is there to show us the truth. But Satan is a great deceiver, using the media in every way imaginable. If we have not experienced it with our natural minds, we can either accept the information or reject it based upon how it is presented to us. When it comes right down to it, the only thing we can hold to as being right down to it is the absolute truth in what we have experienced through the leading of the Holy Spirit as confirmed by the Word of God. We have to understand that the Word alone is the great work that has been working in our lives to show us the way we should go. And the way the church has gone, it needs help. We have to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Our souls must be consecrated unto God and made whole. Our souls have been split in the world, fragmented, but we have to have our souls made whole as Christians, and we have to be delivered step by step as we, the true believers, work out our salvation through the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. Oh, body of Christ, the true believer becomes equipped through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to recognize these evil spirits that we are seeing in action around and about us, be it in the nation, our own nation, in the world. It's everywhere now. And the Holy Spirit recognizes what is true and what is not true and can give us that wisdom, so we can successfully war against them. This act of warfare takes place in the soul of the believer. That's why our soul cannot be bound by any evil. It cannot be fragmented any longer. It's in the interests of Satan and his angels to keep us in a fallen state of existence through deception and darkness caused by a lack of knowledge. It's why we want to lack knowledge. We want to have the truth, because a lack of knowledge brings us into deep, deep deception. Regardless of whether or not we have received Jesus by the profession of our mouth, it is in the interest of devils working for Satan to keep that dark, fallen existence active in our soul. And we don't need that anymore. We must be cleansed of all deception and all darkness, because as believers, we must become knowledgeable of the devices of Satan. He will become more and more united with the Lord of, we will become more and more united with the Lord of glory if we understand and keep back these forces of darkness, these evil spirits. That's why I would like you, if you are willing, if you really want to be involved with this kind of work, purchase my book on Amazon, Deliver the Bill of Rights. So together we can work an incredible work to get delivered personally, to help others be delivered, to help get the work out for a wonderful spirit in operation against all evil forces, portion of our being needs to become renewed stage by stage through deliverance. And so the deliverance and the to be involved with it and come against darkness and sin, this is our work. And we must set the captives free. Are you willing to do so? Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, Patricia Joy Xavier. Thank you, and God bless you.